Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I want to welcome you to our national prayer call, and I just want to give a word of encouragement. I was just speaking to many people on the call tonight to tell them that it's an honor and a privilege to hear so many reports. Now, some of the reports are battle, and I understand that. We're in tremendous battle. We're in a season of battle. But that's okay, because if you read the book, you know, ultimately, we win the battle. We get to be on the winning team. Sunday was quite an interesting day in that I heard from apostles and prophets and pastors and teachers from different services that I tuned into, and the Word of God was saying the same almost everywhere, that the earth and the heavens are really in a tumultuous time period this year. And we've entered in, you know, we're entering into a new year, not in our calendar, but in the Hebrew calendar and God's calendar. And the seasons have changed. I talked about last week in Dr. Fred Mosley's book that we were literally in a law of the seasons, and that we were in a season of change, and that we were literally going into a time and a place where there's great warfare. This is the season where the kings literally would go into the fields to do battle. And the kings were always, it was called, you know, the kings are in the field. And the king is in the field. And we have a greater access to the Lord. And some people say, well, how can you have a greater access? It actually falls into his laws, his order. He says, I'm making myself available because I've come to do battle on your behalf. So as we enter into this year, as we enter into a time of great trial and tribulation in the heavenlies, it's time to align ourselves with the Lord to where we're going to be settled in for this year, both spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, to get to a point that we can have a freedom we've not had before, and that's the whole purpose of this prayer call. We have an opportunity to plug into a power of the Lord that many people in the church have never seen, because God is revealing himself in a new way. It's not that he hasn't done this before, but in this season, he's giving greater revelation knowledge of what he is, who he is, and what he wants to do. We have to get our heart, our minds, our will, our emotion, our spirit lined up with him so that we can break through this season. It's going to cause change in many people. Being ordained in multiple denominations and going through different churches, and as a praise leader and as a gospel singer and as a pastor over the years, I've learned that worship is critical. And I've also seen where in many churches, denominational churches particularly, you know, do three hymns, preach the gospel for 30 minutes and get out of here so I can get to the cafeteria in time for lunch. Well, God's not really accepting that. He wants you to go to a new level of worship. He wants you to go into a place this year that you've not been before. And it might be an uncomfortable transition for some because they feel it's being an exhibitionist, a emotional-driven person. When you surrender into worship to the Lord, you get lost up in the Lord, and you don't care where you are, who you're with, or what's going on around you, you're going to worship the Lord. And when you get into that high place of praise, there's a breakthrough that comes that overwhelms any hesitation, overwhelms any religious spirit. We call it the spirit of religiosity. And it takes you into a place that you've not been. It takes you into a place of absolute rest. Years ago, some of you heard my testimony about my daughter being hit by a car. And I called out to the Lord, and he took me into a new place. He took me into a place of peace in the midst of tribulation. I called out to him, and he spoke to me. And I heard him audibly. Every cell in my body heard him. He says, fear not, the child shall not die. I shall raise her up to my glory as a testimony unto me. So I entered into a place of rest in the Lord. And at that place, I could see clearer than I'd ever seen before. My prayers were more powerful. The warfare I was going through became so clear that I could see what the enemy was trying to do. I could hear what he was trying to do. And the Lord gave me the ability to overcome in that season and in that time. Now, over the years since then, she was 8 then, she's now 31. I've had many other times of great warfare, none to that degree, for myself, yes, and for some others, but as one of your children, you always are more greatly concerned. So the stormy season that we're going into can be very confusing and fearful if you don't know what the Lord wants. And the way you find out what the Lord wants is to enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise, and you do that with worship. I can't spend a lot of time tonight talking about worship, but you've got to change your mindset. You've got to change what you think worship is. And take a look at it from God's perspective. Go back and look at when David entered into the city with the Ark of the Covenant. He worshiped with total abandonment. And his wife even thought he made a fool of himself. And because she ridiculed him, God cursed her womb. And she never bore a child. Satan wants to come in to oppress you to where you can't bear in the spirit realm the victory that God wants you to have, that it can be birthed on the earth realm. And literally, I have prayed the Lord's Prayer, and this is actually from my Sunday service that I was at, that I've prayed the Lord's Prayer. You can pray it in 12 seconds or you can pray it in 12 hours. You know, our Father, what's his name? You start going through his names and worshiping him for who he is. All the Jehovah names. El Shaddai. Every name that God is, you could worship him. Just take hours. And thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Well, there's no sickness, disease, infirmity, or warfare in heaven where he is. So we have all these opportunities to go into what the Lord is saying. He says, and he's saying that his presence be on earth, that it be in, as it is in heaven. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. His will is there's no sickness, disease, infirmity. There is no strife, there's no want. And as you go into the place of entering into his realm, and you're actually doing it through his laws of worship, through his laws of praise, you enter into a place of peace and prosperity. Now, many of you this past week have said the same thing to me. We're battling the spirit of poverty. I have battled the spirit of poverty in the past. My wife and I make a good living. We have been wealthy. We have been poor. We've been challenged in just about every area of our lives that you can be challenged in, particularly being a teacher. When the Lord said, don't desire to be a teacher, don't jump at it, and he was very correct, because anything you teach, you're going to be challenged in. So I want to enter into a place tonight where we go to a higher level in the courtrooms of heaven, that we literally are going to break off strongholds. We're going to break off curses that are curses of lineage. We're going to go into a mode of deliverance from the strongholds of the enemy, because we're going before the righteous judge. Now, you know, it's so often we use the scripture, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and I like the Amplified Version. It says, diligently seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways. He would hear from heaven. He'd forgive their sin. He would heal their land. All through Scripture, you're going to hear about land. We're made from the land. We're made from the dirt. So the word for today from many different ministries is that a new door and a new path is opening up for us. That new door and that new path is opening up into an access to the kingdom that we've not sensed in a long time. So I want us to go into that place with thanksgiving and a grateful heart. Father Yahweh, there are so many names that you go by. Lord, you are worthy of every adjective, everything that we can lift up to use your name. Every bit of thanksgiving, every bit of praise, the entireness of our being could not praise you enough or thank you enough. Lord, we just come before you in Yeshua, Jesus' name, your Son, our Lord and Savior, and come and ask that you would give us the wisdom of the ages, that as we go into this new season, this season of discovery, this season of new paths, because we've not been on these paths before. We've not walked where we've broken off ancestral curses. We've not understood they even were there, much less breaking them off. We've not understood the freedom that you wanted us to have. We've not understood, Lord God, the victory that is ours, nor even the process in going through there. We've not understood protocol in going before you. But your heart is open to us. And you desire that we come before you with our hands lifted up, worshiping you, thanking you, blessing your holy name, that we could enter into an age of rebirth and victory and revival that has not been seen on this earth since the time of Christ. Lord, you are our shield, our buckler. You're our love. You're our strength. You're our joy. You're our life. Everything that we have is through you. We're just starting to realize it. Father, we ask that you would open our eyes and our ears this night, that we could see and know and understand that which you have for us, the richness of thy glory, the richness of thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, that we can have that access, that we can totally surrender into you in such a way that we will never be the same. That the ministry that we have, we might not be called to the pulpit, we might not be called to teach or preach, but we are called in the marketplace ministry every day, everywhere around us. There's a rebirth, there's a resurgence of you, Lord God. There's such oppression on this earth. There's destruction everywhere, right and left and forward and back, there's destruction. But your purpose is victory. That thy kingdom would come and thy will would be done on earth as it is in heaven, that you would give unto us this day our daily bread. That means every morsel that comes from heaven. Lord, there's no demon that can stand against us if we understand who you are and who we are in you. That we are realigning ourselves to fall into perfect order under thy kingdom, recognizing the power, the authority, the principalities cannot stand against. It's your word, it's your way, and it's your will. We hold fast to your words that you've spoken to us no matter what we see, no matter what falls around us, Lord God. We press into the victory of you in faith, defeating our enemies in every realm, calling upon you, recognizing, Lord, that we are gaining spiritual authority, position, and insight. And in that and through that, we will decree your glory. We are stepping into a place right now, Lord, that has not been seen on earth before because it's a new season. And you're saying, come and see. Come and see. Come and see what you're doing. Let our faith be built up in abundance. Let us, Lord God, have a supernatural touch and inhabitation, Lord God. Holy Spirit, come and inhabit every person that is on this call, both now and those that shall listen. Come, Holy Spirit, come afresh and anew. Come and fall upon everyone that is listening this hour. Come again, Lord God. Come and bring about eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart of understanding to know you, that we can have true justice in thy courts and thy kingdom, and that your will be done in our lives as we choose to walk in you through your way. And we're going to rise above all the chaos and the turmoil of this day and this season, and we're going to enter into a place of rest and peace as you took me in that night or that day when my daughter was hit by a car. That even the circumstances around me and everybody that's in their lives right now can be overcome because of a simple word. You said, fear not. Well, Lord, 365 times you said, fear not, throughout your word. So, Lord, we choose to fear not. No matter what the circumstances, no matter what the situation, no matter what the trials or tribulations that are placed upon us, Lord God, are before us, we shall not fear. For the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds in Jesus Christ, and we shall overcome. We shall have the victory that we're standing in right now, in your word, in your way, and in your will. that we could go into the courts of heaven, that we can reclaim our land and our children, our children's children. We can reclaim the inheritance that was set aside for us that was stolen by the enemy, and therefore break the cycle of poverty and the spirit of poverty as we come before the righteous judge who gives true justice. So we thank you for the opportunity in Yeshua's name, and we cry out, holy, 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 holy is the Lord. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen.
I want to encourage you, everybody, tonight. I mean, the Spirit of God is just, as I was praying, the Spirit of God came upon me with a, it was like a comfort, like a warmness, like a wrapping of his mercy and grace around me to bring a word of encouragement tonight. You know, we've got to think in God's perspective and get outside the boxes we put ourselves in and that the enemy puts us in. We have fought for so long on this world to try to get ahead. You know, we have this attitude that if, and many churches have this, that it's a piety attitude. Well, true piety has nothing to do with poverty. True piety has everything to do with humility and laying everything down before the Lord. And true piety is going to set the captives free. It's not going to bring bondage. So when the Lord talked about abundance, Matthew 25, it was using the parables for the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country and called his servants together and delivered his goods unto them. And he gave each talents. And when he came back, he was expecting return on the talents, but some did not return it because they did not act wisely. He's saying, I've given you great talents. And many of you say, I don't have any talents. I can hardly make it. Well, the talents he gives you are the ability to be a blessing. So we choose whether we're a blessing or not. Poverty is not a blessing. Poverty is a curse. Many of us have grown up with that spirit of poverty wrapped around our ankles like chains and has kept us in bondage for so long that we don't even understand how to get out of it. This nation lives on government handouts. 47% of them voted for the current president thinking that they were going to get more, and they have. But independence, freedom, liberty, it says, no, wait a minute, I don't need government handouts. I need to have the ability to succeed on my own. I don't need a big brother. Now, at times, we're all going to need help. I've had to have help. I have friends that call on me, you know, that need help. And we do everything we can. And you all have helped in this ministry. And we have the attitude, and this is coming literally out of the Breaking the Spirit of Poverty book, and I'm going to give you once again how to get that. You say, good things never seem to happen to me. I can't seem to be successful. Well, the laws of your words, you just spoke curses over yourself, and you've locked yourself into the very bondage that you're trying to break. Part of that's in Dr. Mosley's book. We have to understand that if we're going to live a life of freedom and victory, you never say, I can't. Now, you got to be realistic. There physically might be things that you can't do. But if you put yourself in a box of poverty and saying that poverty is piety, it's not, and that you're going to walk in this, you're going to make it, God wants you to do more than just make it. He wants to bless you. Blessings come from the Lord. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that God rewarded his people with great poverty. I mean, I haven't found it, and I've been through it many, many times. You know, he rewarded his people with blessings. But we're going to have to deal with the curses, and I don't know how to even remember the areas of breaking covenant that I talked about several weeks ago, but one of them is oath breaking. And when you break an oath to the Lord, you set yourself up for failure. So what God is saying is, I want you to go forward. I want you to be free from robbing me, from robbing man, from dishonoring parents, idle words, cursing yourself. I said, God, I can't do better than this. From racism, from broken relationships. God says, I want you to break the curses off of you that you can go forward and not be bound by sickness and depression and suicide and broken relationships and perversion. All these things that are just in the world and that most of us experience in our families or you've experienced yourself. And God is saying, I want you to take a next step. I want you to take the right turn and think outside the box of poverty. I want you to understand that literally everybody has treasures in their backyard. There's a hidden treasure that's on your property. You say, what's that hidden treasure? Am I going to go out and dig up and find gold? No. He's saying that there is a great treasure within you, within your property. Break the curses and receive the inheritance. Get outside the prison of poverty. Look to my word and see what it's saying. Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves on the earth and literally the earth itself. His intention was that as we went forward that we would prosper and be in good health, even as, you know, as the word brought us up, brought about that prosperity. He wanted us to walk in the word. And Proverbs 10:15 says, a rich man's wealth is a strong city. You know, but destruction of a poor is their poverty. So he who tills his land will have plenty. But he who follows frivolity will have poverty. So God is saying, and I want you to write down this book. It's called Breaking the Spirit of Poverty. Oh, it's about 141 pages. And I believe it was $12. I will go online tomorrow and verify. And I got it from GOZ.org. This is a good guideline. So I want to pray something over us right now. It's literally Proverbs 3:9. It says, Lord, honor the Lord with your possessions and your first fruits of your increase, and so shall your barns be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. You know, so often we look, Lord, at this and don't understand what are we supposed to do. And the Lord is literally saying, your first fruits offering are not just a tithe. It's not a financial offering. It's to give the first of your life, to get up in the morning and give him thanks, to get up in the morning and bless him, to get up in the morning and be a part of what he wants to do. Ask him, Lord, what do you want me to do today? Now, you're going to have to go to work and you're going to have to do certain things, but he'll say, I want you to speak to this person. You'll start hearing from him in a new way. And instead of holding on to what belongs to God, you're going to start giving it unto the Lord. That could be the first person you say hello to. It might be buying a cup of coffee for somebody. It might be praying for somebody. It might be blessing somebody with just encouragement. And you're going to start seeing a thing called poverty start breaking off your lives. Now, it sounds awful simple just with this little bit, but I want you to understand that poverty is a curse. It's a chain of bondage. He wants us to be in a position of blessings, and he wants to be that way by honoring him. He says, you can honor me with your first fruits. Okay? Now, the first fruits, what is that? Start praying over your home. Your first fruits when you get up every day. Pray over your home and your children before you leave. Pray over your bank account. Pray over your possessions. Break the bondage of the curses off of your possessions, off of your land, off of the things that God has given you. And you can start to see the prayers answered. I've seen them answered in my life. I've seen the abundance change when we go into the courts and we start dealing with the Lord and say, Lord, what is my next step? How do I get to this place of fruitfulness? And he says, I'm going to start giving you goals. The Lord said in Psalm 112, blessed, happy, fortunate, to be envied is the man who fears, reveres and worships the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. Get up, take a passage of scripture, lay it out the night before, read it the night before, then get up in the morning and speak it back unto the Lord. Thank him for what he's doing. Thank him for what he's bringing in your life, that the blessings of the Lord are going to overtake you. Thank you that you are a work of his, that you're his, you know, you're his inheritance and he's yours. The word says blessed, happy, and fortunate to be envied of the person, is the person who reveres and worships the Lord and keeps his commandment. Now, the Lord talked to Joshua. He says, I want you to meditate on my word day and night. Start your morning out with a passage and end the evening with a passage. And he says it's reverence and obedience. It's a key to walking in victory. Obey my word, says the Lord. So find your scriptures about prosperity. Find out what God is saying, what you need to do to trust and obey him so that you can have the victory in life. And then start walking completely in the laws of life. Recognize that, you know, a friend of mine kept cursing itself. I can't seem to do this. I can't seem to do that. And I said, quit cursing yourself. You're literally speaking the law over you. I'll give you a perfect example. We've taken in my brother-in-law because he was in a car wreck and he had an alcoholic seizure, totaled his car, totaled another person's car. He's under my roof now and we're feeding him, getting him back on his feet, caring for him. And I'm continually correcting his speech. I can't believe, you know, I don't know what I did wrong with it. I said, well, you know, drinking, the attitudes. The Lord says, you know, attend my words, incline your ear unto my saying, let them not depart from thy eyes, but keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to their flesh. I broke a spiritual law this last couple days. My sister-in-law is a gourmet pastry cook. If I'd have married her, I'd have weighed 200 pounds more than I do instead of marrying her sister. I'm glad I married her sister for many reasons, but I think you all can appreciate this. Marley comes over. We've been on a diet for 2 months, lost a bunch of weight, looking good, feeling better. Marley comes over and makes pies and tarts. Cherry pies and tarts with sugar sprinkled all over them. And bluebell ice cream. For those of you that don't live in Texas, you don't know how wonderful bluebell ice cream really is. It's like eating frozen cream. And I fell. Well, I happen to be one of those many people that I can to handle much sugar. Got sick, broke out like a kid in puberty, and I'm sitting there going, Lord, I broke the law, didn't I? He says, yeah, the law of health. And he says, ponder on it. You know, what did you do wrong? I said, well, I took into my mouth something that I was not supposed to have. And because of that, I've gotten sick. He says, repent, don't do it anymore. So I did, and I'm immediately starting to feel better. Simple laws of life. Put away from thy mouth perverse lips. Let them be far from you. Don't speak curses on yourself. Get your eyes on the Lord and seek after him that he could give you the direction that you need, because God wants to bring about a freshness in your life. Now, in the lineage of families, I was reading just a moment ago from the book by Bobby Connor, The Lineage Line and Legacy of Your Life. A big aspect to understanding how we worship God is obedience. I mean, it's a big, big aspect. And God might tell you to do something that you just, you know, you say, I want you to go up and I want you to lift up your hands and I want you just to worship me. And you say, well, I can't do that here, Lord. That's not done in my church. You fail to worship him. And therefore you stay in a state of bondage and defeat, and that brings about a poverty mentality. Because I can't do that because of those around me. Repent and just lift up your hands. If they tell you to leave the church, then go find a church where you can lift up your hands. Let God restore his passion in you. Let God touch you like he did when he first loved you. And you first loved him, where you start recognizing what he was doing. And reaffirm your relationship. There's a whole gospel song. It goes, trust and obey, trust and obey. There's no other way. And it was, be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. One of the most important aspects of a Christian walk is to learn to hear the voice of God, and you're going to learn to hear him by entering into that place of worship and then obeying what he says. Now, obedience sometimes seems very difficult, but obedience always brings victory. We're going to experience setbacks, and there's going to be hard times. Don't think that it's all a piece of cake or cakewalk. I've always had a problem with churches and pastors that taught, oh, just get saved and everything's going to be great. Well, you know what? That's a lie. Many people don't have much warfare going on until they get saved because they didn't realize that the enemy was out to destroy them. And when they got saved and started worshiping the Lord, they found that the enemy was coming after them with everything he had. So obeying the voice of the Lord becomes difficult when you're being bombarded. Not everyone can say, Lord, Lord, help me in here. But he's saying he's available to everybody. So just trust in him. Start listening to that still, quiet voice. And it might be, you say, well, that's my voice speaking. But if it's telling you something you've not known before, if all of a sudden you have knowledge, or it asks you to do something that's obvious, say, Lord, do it. Many times in my early walk as a Christian, I didn't go set people free that he wanted me to set free. I failed. And in that, I greatly regret it. So the laws, coming back, the laws and going into the courts, we have to recognize that we are ambassadors of reconciliation. God is saying, and a dear friend of mine that and I were talking this morning, and he didn't know that it was already planned for this evening, that we have a position and protocol that we have to have in going into the courtroom, and that is understanding that we are ambassadors of reconciliation unto the Lord. Every person and situation that we run into, one way or another, we're going to have an opportunity. Then in our actions, our deeds, our business dealings, how we reach out, how we touch people, the Lord says that he restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. So Job was being ridiculed by his friends, and he prayed for them, and God gave everything back to Job twice that of what he'd lost. Job was acting as an ambassador of reconciliation. Now, it's in the courtroom of heaven. It's actually in chapter 10 that this talks about it. We have religious laws that we set up, and God has said, no, I want you to obey my laws. I want you to come in my courtroom of heaven, and I will give you wisdom that all your adversaries will not be able to contradict. I'm going to bring about redemption and reconciliation unto me, and he wants to reconcile not only his family and friends, but he wants to reconcile the land unto him. So as he goes into this spirit and attitude of reconciliation, you are fulfilling the law that God wanted you to have in dealing with powers and principalities, position and territorial jurisdiction, because you become the reconciler for God. He's going to work through you. And he's going to help you to bring others to the point of understanding that they can be set free, they can break the lineage problems off of their bloodlines and come before him, bringing the principalities that are over the cities, over the state, and over the nation as you move up before him, where they've been bringing you before the Lord. You're going to now bring them before the Lord, not to accuse, but to overturn their unrighteous judgments. And in doing so, you are going to set your bloodline free. And setting your bloodline free is going to change more than just you or your household. It's going to change the people around you, because you're going to walk in a new power and authority and freedom that you've not done before. You're going to learn how to tear down the strongholds of the enemy and bring about the protection that you and your family need. God says, I want you to start praying and understanding as you pray, to pray a spirit of blessing, in a spirit of blessing, an attitude of blessing. So, you know, come before him and thank him. Father, I want to thank you for your word and that you're faithful. I want to thank you for setting me and my family free. I want to thank you, Lord God, for the covenant of mercy and grace to 1,000 generations to those who love you and keep your commandments. And I want to thank you, Lord, that you are cleansing my family bloodline in this courtroom today, that we are going to walk upright before you with a spirit of an attitude of uprightness to decree the blessings of the Lord upon my family and upon my land and those that come in alignment with me. I declare, Lord God, that Psalm 20 over my family as a blessing. May the Lord answer you this day in the day of trouble, in the time of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob defend us. May he send his help from the sanctuary. And may he strengthen you out of Zion. May he remember all of our offerings and accept all of our sacrifices. The first fruits of our offerings, our time, our attitude, our actions, our deeds. Lord, that you would fulfill all of the purposes that you've set aside for us to do in our lives through salvation, through blessings, through deliverance, that we could take our petitions before you, knowing that you desire to fulfill our petitions and set the captives free. Lord, we just come before you with such an attitude of trust in you, not in what we have, not in our possessions, not in our homes, our business, our cars, our money in our accounts, but in you. And we bow before you, Lord God, with thanksgiving that you would lift us up before you, Lord God, and say, well done, my faithful, good and faithful servant. You would lift up our countenance with peace, that you would wash us and cleanse us with the renewing and the refreshing, the water, the word, and the spirit, that the spirit of gentleness would come upon us and that goodness and mercy would overtake us and that we would dwell in the house of the Lord for all eternity, we and our family and our households. Lord God, that we would have such a joy in the knowledge and knowing of you that we have been set aside as heirs and joint heirs with Christ, more than conquerors, above and not beneath, sanctified, set aside, that the roots that have held us into bondage, the chains that have kept us into poverty are being broken, that you're training us up, Lord God, to walk in a spirit of joy and peace, and Lord, that we can have hope that goes far beyond anyone that is around us, that you're giving us wisdom, that you're giving us direction, that you're giving us insight, that your words are cutting the cords of bondage, Lord, as we recognize that we can enter into your courts of heaven, that we can enter into, Lord, literally where the enemy has taken us down, we can enter into a time of peace and prosperity once again for our lives and for our land, that the prosecutor cannot bring us down any longer. Lord, that the veil is being removed and that the tactics of the enemy are being put under our feet. The world tried to swallow us up, Lord God. The world has tried to bring all hell upon us, but you said you come to bring us peace. And that doesn't make any difference what the devices of the enemies are, that you are bringing us to a place that we will walk in total victory, understanding that as we obey your word, we are fulfilling the laws of life, nature, and the kingdom. That we're going to break free from the laws of suffering, break free from the law of poverty, break free, Lord God, from the curses that have so easily wrapped around us. And we thank you for these things in Yeshua's Jesus' name. Lord God, that all kinds of law and curses that we have broken, Lord, are literally, you bring them to our minds, you bring them to our thoughts, that we can go before you and break off these curses and be set free for thy glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I ask several people to start looking at things because I want some people to share with us and testimonies. And we're going to go into a prayer mode here this next week of victory. Now, there's only one chance that I might have a problem with next week, and I'll let everybody know in advance. The Christian CMM meeting and awards are next week, and I've been invited to come to that up in Dallas. And this Christian's ministry of doing film, and I'm hoping to be one of the participants this next week. And they're asking me to consider an honor, which I'm very excited about, even though I've not been in film and media, but just because of the things that we're doing. But I've asked David to come tonight and not really bring a teaching. I've asked him to come and lead us differently than he's done in the past, but to lead us in prayer in the direction that God's given him because of his lineage. Now, I was teaching and spoken out of Bobby Connor's book, Lineage, the Line and Legacy of the Lord in Our Lives, and I was reading a couple passages out of that tonight. And we have to have an understanding that God is establishing in our hearts a desire to break the lineage curses and set free those who desire to line up under his word and way and will according to the protocol that he establishes in going before the kingdom. And a lot of people say, well, all we do is pray. Well, that's what all this is about, teaching us how to pray, teaching us how to go before the Lord. And there's many chapters of different books that we're going to go into over these next, you know, few weeks. But we're going to learn how to advance with boldness into our future by going into the past. I love the movies Back to the Future. You go into the past to go into the future. So we're going into the past to set our lineage free, knowing that we can't give them forgiveness for their sins. We can ask forgiveness for their sins, but we can remit their sins upon our bloodlines. You know, they have been punished for whatever they've done. Believe me, they've had generations to do that. But the sin that attached to our bloodline and to our legacy can be remitted, can be canceled in the courts, and therefore the enemy no longer has any rights. Now, I gave an example several weeks ago, and I want to give it real quick, and then I'm going to ask David to take over here for the next bit. I had a sister that I was very bitter about. She was not a nice individual at all. She was an alcoholic. She pretty well destroyed her family. In my family, I was the fifth person in line in alcoholism. She was actually part of that same generation. And she became an under-the-bridge drunk alcoholic, about destroyed her family. Would go into her daughter's school during school and break into the classrooms and cause horrible embarrassment and hurt and just did things because of her hurt and her bondage that brought her low. Well, I had great ought against her, and I'd been praying for some time, and I was asking the Lord. He showed me that I needed to forgive her, and I went before him every day for 3 weeks in a row and said, Lord, I want you to forgive my sister and send somebody to her. Send somebody to Jackie and let her experience the fullness of your grace and mercy and lead her to you, Lord God. Let her know your love. Forgive her. I forgive her. And I just ask in Jesus' name that you do this. And then one night, he spoke to me and said,
"Okay,
I want you to release your sister unto me." And I said, okay, Lord, I release Jackie to you. I don't know what's going on, but I release her. And the next morning, I received a phone call from my mother's, my uncle's wife, and we call an aunt in this part of the world, that my sister had died. And I asked her what time she died. She died the exact moment that the Lord had me release her. And I went before the Lord and I said, Father, what is this that you're saying? What was this all about? He said, this was not about your sister. And I went, really? He says, this was about you. Your sister was soon to die. And if you had not forgiven her, and this goes into, again, the law of forgiveness, if you had not forgiven her, then the enemy had a right. He said the devil. He said the devil had a right to bring you before me in bondage for your unforgiveness. Now, I didn't even understand what the Lord, the Spirit of God, was saying it to me at the time. He says, and I said, so by my forgiving my sister, I'm set free? And he says, yes. He says, literally, you were set free by your act of forgiveness of her. And he says, the benefit is, not only are you set free, but a nurse led her to the Lord. I mean, she came out of an alcoholic coma. A Christian nurse had been praying over at that time. Jackie said, I heard you praying. What were you saying? Jackie led her in. She was led in a sinner's prayer by the nurse, and she immediately died. within seconds. Now, two things happened there. It helped set me free, and it helped set her free. So the Lord literally spoke this in my spirit, his spirit to mine. He says, she'll be waiting for you when you enter my kingdom. She will be one of the first to greet you and thank you for your prayers. Whew, I don't know about you. When the Spirit of God told me that, that shook me to my very core.
Yes.
I mean, that my lack of obedience in keeping her in bondage, even though I'd have been saved for years, I'd kept her in bondage because of my literal hatred and unforgiveness for her. And because
Wait,
of
I'd
she
shout,
did my mother.
But I'd deafen everybody if I did that.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a hallelujah and then some.
Amen. Amen.
That's 150 decibel glory to God.
That takes you to a higher level, and that is what this lineage, this legacy that I've been talking about breaking off those curses, I did not know. So when I asked the Lord, who else do I need to forgive? And he says, well, you need to forgive your other sister for this. And, you know, just the different things. He'll start showing you. And he did that, and when he spoke that in the Spirit, he said, I did that on your benefit, for your benefit. And the side benefit is that your sister will meet you and greet you at the gates of the kingdom. Well, what a blessing. I mean, my life changed instantly at that point. And to find out that she died exactly the moment that he said, release her unto me. And I said, okay, Lord. And I've actually seen this situation happen since, where prayers, myself and others, kept somebody from entering into the kingdom. The angel actually told somebody that person could not enter in the kingdom because we were praying for that person. And the Spirit of the Lord says, release them. And we did, and they died. There is a season. There's a time and season. So, David, I had to mute you for a second there because of background noise, but I've taken you off mute. So I've asked David to come in, and I asked him not to do a teaching tonight, but to lead us, to give us a direction and an understanding from his lineage. And he's not at liberty to go one side of the family, but he's going to go the other. And be an example. Now, that's one example for me. Now, that was a sister. But then my very name, I'm going to give you one other example. My name is Wade King Butler. And a lot of people like to kid me and give me grief about that. But I come back at them and say, well, I was born a king, christened a king, with the destiny to be a king. And then they think I'm being arrogant. And I says, no, I happen to be of royal blood all the way back to the throne of England. I happen to be christened a king in my name and destined to be a king and a priest. So I got triple blessed. But there's been so many bondages in my family tree and the lineage of the Butlers, lust, perversion, theft. You know, we used to kid about one of the uncles. He got hung as a horse thief, you know. Just generations back, and the bondage that it caused in poverty. What can you do to break it? Well, that's what it's all about, that we go forward and break from our lineage these things that have held us back so that we can walk in a new place. So now, David, I surrender it to you, David Pimbleton.
Good evening, everybody. How are you all doing today? I hope that everybody's well and blessed. One thing, as I was praying about doing what I'm about to do here, God began to reveal to me, while even in the midst of the teaching of what Wade was talking about, is dealing with poverty and how the poverty mindset was even in my own lineage and family, because I would like, for instance, Stephen F. Hopkins, because I'm going to go back to that particular moment. In my lineage and family, you know, he was a part of an insurrection in Jamestown, and he got caught in that insurrection, or mutiny is what they called it then. and he was getting ready to die. You know, and he repented remorsefully, but that still bled over. He learned his lesson because he left the country, went back to Bermuda, and when he stayed at Bermuda, he came back on the Mayflower to here in Plymouth, and that's where, you know, my family started in this area. This is where we came into, and from one part of my family. Now, the one thing is that he was a tanner. He was in the, so there's a mentality of just, he was just an ordinary person, and he was brought to become an extraordinary person by becoming a part of the governance and overseeing the building of Plymouth, Massachusetts, the laying down the foundations and all that stuff. So there was a mindset, even though he did it, of this impoverished person from what God began to reveal to me. And so what we're going to do tonight, and I felt led tonight, is first of all, I'm going to ask if you guys can quickly do this after I share this little bit. I'm going to give a little pause so that you guys can get communion, because we got to take covenant to do this in order for this to happen. But I'm just trying to give an instruction so we know how to deal with this. And so so we're going to deal with, and through prayer, about the poverty mindset, the poverty stuff that comes in. And here's something that I'm going to share with all of you here, how we're going to break it off, especially what's going on in today's life and what we're going to go into. God, several years ago, gave me an understanding, and because I was getting ready to do some ministry, I was getting ready to start putting stuff together, and God said to me just before I started to come to agreement of becoming a nonprofit organization, a 501c3, God said no. He says, why? Because he said, if you agree to become nonprofit, you won't profit. You're here to prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. So the thing is that if you have ever brought your, become a part of a nonprofit organization, you have brought yourself under a curse of poverty by limiting the prosperity. Because you've agreed that you're here not to profit the kingdom. And that's the mindset that I feel God wants to address in the lineage of our lives, in our generation, in the generation of those things where we had mindset of poverty and came into agreement of poverty in our lives. In the agreement of falling into that poverty, sin mentality of not having the mind of Christ in that place. So that's why I wanted to ask you all, get the covenant ready, because this is going to be how God wants us to deal with it tonight. So I'm just going to give us a small time to get it, and let's let me know when you've got it in your possession.
And David, I can totally appreciate that. As soon as you said that, the Spirit just rushed all over me, and I ran out of the room. I put the phone on mute, and I ran out of the room, and I told my wife, Frances, get communion now. We got to take communion. There was a rush within me that we needed to do it. So the Spirit was just testifying to it.
Hey, David?
Yes.
Can you wait for about 5 or 10 minutes to have everybody take communion? I ran out of grape juice yesterday, so I'm having my wife warn the store for me real quick.
Okay, we could do that. I mean, the other thing is that I believe that we're also needing to deal with and address, and God really put this into my spirit, because it also lines up with poverty. We need to deal with breaking off Freemasonry over our family lives, period. Not a specific test, but the whole kit and caboodle. Repent of it and of the Skull and Crossbones Society, if there's any lineage in that. This is kind of a blanket generality, But God really put that in strong in my spirit, because here's the thing. The Skull and Crossbone Society uses Itzrayim in Egypt as a slave mentality and forces people and brings people under poverty. Those that are, so therefore, when you're, our lineage had to be a part of it, we submitted to that corridor. And the Skull and Crossbones did it through war, because their mentality is to create war so that you create the ability to create income and economies. And they do that through war of economics, war of World War One, World War Two. Any war that's being set forth is generally done by a Skull and Crossbone person. And the Itzrayim or the Skull and Cross, I mean the Freemasons, it's normally dealing with economies. It deals with devaluing things, bringing the price of things up. You know, like gas, when it goes from, you know, an exaggeration from $2.50 to $5 a gallon. That's a slave mentality and high taxes.
David?
Yes.
Monty, would you not also include the Knights of Columbus in that part, considering the Freemasonry?
It's all going to be dealt with. And so this is just something that has been put into my spirit today to deal with these issues, because this is the captivity that's kept us from prospering, and it's not to be there anymore. And so when we're all ready to do this, we can do this. But right now, Father, we just come to you. We come to your courtroom of your throne of grace to boldly come to that throne room, to boldly come to this situation, because, Father, it's dealing with the nation of our country. And, Father, as someone who you have given me to have authority in this country by birth and lineage from the very first people that put together two cities, this Jamestown and the Plymouth, Massachusetts, and signed the Mayflower Compact Act, that, Father, that through this lineage you have shown me that we have, that you've given me foundational authority in this land, in this country, to come to do what needs to be done. That I'll bring this group of, because it's so fitting, about Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13, and this is reading from the Besora. This is the original Paleo-Hebrew translated into modern language. But now, in the Messiah, Yahushua, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of the Messiah. For he is our peace, who made both one, having broken down the partition of the barrier, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, the Torah of the commands and dogma, so that to create in himself one renewed man from two, thus making peace and completely restoring to favor both of them unto Elohim in one body through the stake, having destroyed the enmity by having come, and he brought as a Besora peace to you who were far off, and peace to you, to those who are near, because through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. So then you are no longer strangers or foreigners, but fellow citizens of the set-apart ones and members of the household of Elohim, having been built upon the foundation of the emissaries and the prophets, Yahusha, Messiah himself being chief cornerstone, in whom all the building being joined together grows into a set apart dwelling place of Yahuwah, in whom you also are being built together into dwelling of Elohim in the Spirit. And so, Father, we thank you that by that word itself alone, we have been restored to your favor. Restored to favor, to prosper. And the elements that have brought unjustified poverty upon our lives has been broken down. The demonic powers have been brought down in him, the Messiah, brought it down. And so tonight, before your throne room of grace, as we wait upon everyone to assemble and bring about this, Father, we just worship you. We adore you. We thank you, Father, for your grace. It's truly been efficient, but your grace is about to show great grace, great favor, great love and compassion upon us all. Father, as you've given this situation upon, I lift up this nation to you. And Father, I come to you today and ask that you forgive our forefathers of falling into and agreeing upon poverty. The poverty mindset. And Father, we come to you. I come to you and ask that you forgive that our lineage. Forgive the lineage of the Pembleton Hopkins family.
I think each of you need to repeat for your own families right there. In agreement with David's prayer.
And so this is how we're, as soon as everybody got their elements yet, I just need to find out where we are.
Just another minute or two, I think I should be good to go.
Okay. Because this is going to be how we're going to do it in this kind of way, is that I'm going to say some words and we're going to repeat those words out loud.
Okay, I'm good to go now.
At that point, I would like to, all right, I'm going to unmute everybody for just a second. It's going to sound like I'm muting and then unmuting. Okay.
You want me to do it for you, Wade?
I just, look like I just did it. I think I just did it. No, there's a few that are still muted. And everybody that muted yourself, unmute yourself right now. And I've had to mute some of you folks back there on the way. You know it. Because David is going to be asking that we repeat some of these prayers, and I want us to repeat them. Now, does everybody have elements of some nature, be it wine, be it grape juice,
yep,
fruit of the vine,
Wait, David, you might want to find out how many people got knocked off. I just got knocked off.
Well, you're back on. I only lost you, Monty.
Yeah, I muted Chuck just because that's where the feedback was coming from.
Right. Yeah. So, Monty, you're back on. We're good. Everybody's here. All right, I'm going to ask the question. Does everybody have elements of some nature that wants to participate in this communion?
Yes.
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 Okay, this is very, very significant. Glory to God, David, I got Holy Ghost rushes all over me.
See, just a minute.
Oh, boy.
All right, if you can, be as quiet as you can in your background, noise, mute TVs, do it, you know, ask the kids to leave the room, whatever you got to do so you can repeat these prayers. All right, Dave, looks like we're pretty good.
Okay.
Good to go.
Okay, repeat this. Father in heaven.
Father in heaven.
We come to you as one new man.
We come to you as one new man.
One new man.
Yes. And we come to you to renew part of this new man.
Okay.
We come to you to renew part of this new man.
That has not yet obtained the mind of Christ.
That has not yet obtained the mind of Christ.
And through our lineage, we ask that you forgive us.
We ask that you forgive us.
For submitting to poverty. Forgive our families. For coming into agreement with that poverty spirit. And that poverty mindset. And of lack. In insufficiency.
And insufficiency.
Insufficiency.
And the curse.
And the curse.
And the curse.
Of being condemned.
Of being condemned.
Condemned.
That we now, Father, come to you. Before the throne room of grace. And ask that you forgive us.
And ask that you forgive us.
Of agreeing to this. Beyond the
on behalf of the generations gone by, and
as you said in your word, forgive them for they know not what they do. And Father, forgive us.
Forgive us.
In our generations.
In our generation.
Where prosperity tried to come in.
But failed to come in.
That you provided. By the rebelliousness of us receiving. And believing a lie. Thus we lived a lie in our generations.
That's
how
that
we lived a lie in our
generations. In our generations.
In Yeshua's name.
In Yeshua's name.
We come and we break off.
We come and we break off.
That cursed and condemnation.
That cursed and condemnation.
Off our generations that's gone before us. And the generation that's gone behind us.
And the generation that's gone behind us.
For it stops here.
For it stops here.
And it gets severed off here tonight.
And it's severed off here tonight.
It gets severed off the nation of the United States of America. From the time that it was founded,
to the time now,
and the time of its remaining future,
because Yeshua
is the same today.
Yesterday and forever.
And we thank you, Father, for that. We release our generations of the past.
We release our generations of the past.
And as the woman who was caught in adultery, Yeshua said, "Where are your accusers?"
And Yeshua said,
"Where are your accusers?"
And she said, "Nowhere, Lord."
And she said, "Nowhere, Lord."
And Yeshua said, "Neither do I condemn you."
And Yeshua said, "Neither do I condemn you."
Therefore, go and sin no more.
Therefore, go and sin no more.
Because in your cross that you bore.
Because in your cross that you bore.
The enmity and accusation.
The enmity and accusation.
Was brought down. The accuser of the brethren.
The accuser of the brethren was brought down.
The spirit that has the ability to set times, change the laws, was brought down.
The spirit that has the ability to change times and laws was brought down.
And we were made whole.
And we are made whole.
By the stripes and the piercings of Jesus Christ. And the bruising of Yeshua. Poverty. And condemnation.
Was brought down.
And we received grace upon grace.
And we received grace upon grace.
Glory upon glory. And greater faith to greater faith. And the favor of the Lord. Into our generations, of the past, of the present, and forevermore. And we thank you, Father, for that.
And we thank you, Father, for that.
That by your grace, We have been saved.
We have been saved.
And through faith, we have been made.
And today we receive
a higher level of salvation. In our family genealogy.
In our family genealogy.
Because it is today. All of what has been sin. Which has been brought to the cross. Regarding poverty. And it has been stricken off of us.
It has been stripped away from us.
In the action of redemption. Into our lives. Because we released it into the past. And we forgive you, Hopkins family, or your family, Rockwell family, and Morford family.
Of what you agreed to.
We no longer come to that agreement.
We remove that agreement.
By severing it off of you. Because we severed off of ourselves right now. And how we deal with this today.
Is that we ask that you forgive us, Father,
for where we have submitted to non-profitability.
Where we have submitted to non-profitability.
And limited the profitability through you.
The flow through us into the world by agreeing to become non-profit status.
We break that off of our lives right now. Wow.
Break that off of our lives. Wow. That just released it all the way to...
I'm literally seeing in a vision chains being broken off of this country, broken off of our own personal lives, all the way to the time we all set foot, our family set foot into this country, and even going further into the other places of other countries, I'm just seeing this domino effect all the way back, I'm believing, to Adam, and it's cool. Just break, all this is being broken. Oh, wow. Oh, that's awesome. I just felt this boom, this release, and I'm just seeing that. I'm seeing this in the spirit. I am seeing literally where condemnation and non-favor agreements and contracts and rebelliousness and conspiracies and all this. What's that word, Father?
Yes.
It's where somebody betrayals and all of that thing. I'm just seeing all of this. All these areas where all these things are being, God's forgiven it. I'm seeing God forgiving our generations forgiving the nation through this representation. God, in everyone that's in the voice and hears this, hearing this, is literally going in and forgiving and renewing and making new our generation.
Power coming into agreement.
Yes. Right.
Yes.
And so, Father, we now come to you. Repeat that. Father, we now come to you.
We now come to you.
Father, we now come to you.
And in our generational lines, in our past.
And
in our generational lines and in our past.
We now come out of agreement. Alignment.
Alignment.
And submission to.
And submission to
Freemasons and the Masons organizations and all of its subsidiaries, the Knights of Columbus.
Everything that he said, Lord.
Yeah, everything.
All of those
Freemasons, 32nd degree, and all the control.
Yes, Lord.
Cancel that. And we sever that off.
Yes,
we sever that off.
Of our generation.
Under the blood of Jesus.
Of our generation.
And off of our own lives today.
And off of our own lives today.
We ask that you forgive us.
We ask that you forgive us.
To be submitted to man's slavery.
To be submitted to man's slavery.
Slavery. Which is actually slavery to Satan.
Which is a spiritual place known as Israel.
Israel.
We no longer submit to you.
We no longer submit to you.
What was that term you used, David, that you called it?
Itzrayim. That's the actual real name of Egypt. Yeah. It's a Paleo-Hebrew name for Egypt. If you won't find it in the Paleo-Hebrew, not in Egypt, it'll say Itzrayim. And Itzrayim is an actual spiritual dimension of slavery, bondage, and torment, and it is literally hell on earth.
And
so, Father, we sever ourselves from hell on earth.
And, Father, we sever
ourselves from hell on earth.
Because we are one new man.
Because we are one new man.
Because of what Yeshua did on the cross.
Because of what Yeshua did on the cross.
And what he did with his bloodshed. And that we came and received.
And believed.
That he rose from the dead. We received that salvation.
And that salvation.
Severed us from Itzrayim. And Father, we now come to you, and we say to the Skull and Crossbone societies in our generational lives and family.
Yeah, Father, we come to you,
and say to the Skull and Crossbone generation that we ask that you forgive us. Upcoming in agreement to the war doctrine of that society.
And coming into the war doctrine of that society.
Even though there is war in spiritual realms, that war is guided by your direction. And therefore we will listen to your voice.
And therefore we will listen to your voice.
And move across your warfare.
And move across your warfare.
According to the way that you operate
according to the words that
you operate.
And not the Skull and Crossbones Society. We ask that you forgive our generation that were involved in that society. And that we release them into your peace. And that by your bloodshed, we sever off the war mentality out of them. And we say, be set free from carnal warfare.
And we say, be set free from carnal warfare. Which is an unyoked
spirit of competition. Which is jealousy. And so we are no longer.
We're going to accept jealousy.
Jealousy. In our family lineage. And by the bloodshed of Yeshua, we release the blood to purge that jealousy out. Out of our family lineage back to Adam.
Wow.
Woo! And we release harmony. Peace.
Joy.
Rejoicing.
The ability to
look at some other people prospering and being joyful about it. And we also sever off of the genealogy line all the way back to Adam.
All the way back to Adam.
That releases. The empowerment. Of shalom. Which is nothing missing. Nothing broken. And nothing lacking.
Nothing broken.
Having all things in sufficiency.
Because Yeshua, same yesterday, today, and forever.
And we say from Adam.
And
our generations up to today.
Our family lineage.
Be reconciled back to God the Father.
Amen.
Be cleansed and purified from all curses.
Because whom the Son sets free is free indeed.
And Father, we now release prosperity. into our family genealogy.
Into our family genealogy.
because there is no time or distance in the spirit. We release that prosperity.
We release that prosperity.
And on the other side of that, we release wealth. Which is wisdom,
which
insight,
is wisdom,
and understanding.
And understanding.
So that things now be manifest in our genealogy.
So things may be manifest in our genealogy.
To the kingdom standard.
The kingdom standard
of your heart, Father in heaven.
Of your heart,
Father in heaven.
And of the kingdom of God the Father.
And of the kingdom of God the Father.
Which his sovereignty has no end and no beginning. Be imparted into our genealogy. And we now take the communion bread. We take the bread of life.
And we now take the communion, the bread of life.
And as we partake, get prepared to partake of this.
And as we prepare
to take this,
we now receive prosperity and wealth.
You now receive prosperity and wealth.
And Father, we also one more thing, Father, we also release your favor into the genealogy from Adam to our own lives right now.
And Adam to our own genealogy.
Adam to our present day.
And we receive that wealth and favor.
In prosperity.
Because we release love
back to Adam, and we receive that love, as it is written in Proverbs.
Proverbs 3:3-4. Let me get the correct. I don't want to mess this up. Okay, here we go. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Let love not depart from you. And truth forsake you not. Bind them around your neck. And we write them on the tablets of our heart. And so finding favor.
And high esteem.
In the sight of God and man. We release that from Adam to the generation, to our generations.
To now.
Now we have high esteem and favor.
Of you, Yahuwah Elohim.
Who is our Father in heaven. Which then releases it to man's sight.
Then releases it to man's sight.
And it releases it to the future genealogy.
From this time forward.
And as we partake of your flesh tonight.
And as we partake of your flesh tonight.
We receive healing of our generations.
We receive healing of our generations.
And forgiveness.
And forgiveness.
And wholeness.
And wholeness.
Love and grace.
And grace.
And truth.
And truth.
And in favor.
In favor.
And high esteem.
And high esteem.
From you, Father in heaven. And
from you, Father in heaven.
So that we may do what you've called us to do in this earth today.
So that we may do what you've called us to do
today.
And we receive wholeness to us now.
And we receive wholeness to us now.
And Father, as we partake of this.
And Father,
as we partake of this.
Your flesh.
Your flesh.
We put a demand that the devil has been found. The enemy has been found. The thief has been caught.
The devil has been found.
And now we are placing a demand that 7 times 7 be restored. Yes.
And now we are released.
Be restored from Adam.
Through the generations till now.
In double portion. And with the spirit without limit or measure in it.
That releases for wealth to come.
Prosperity to come. To monies to come. Gold to come. Minerals. All sorts of wealth comes now from every direction.
All sorts of wealth comes now from every direction.
He comes and lays at our feet. To execute your kingdom upon the earth.
To execute your kingdom on the earth.
In Yeshua's name, as we partake of this, let it be so executed.
We partake of this in Yeshua's name.
In the heavens. As it is now in the earth, and as it is in heaven.
As it is in the earth, and as it is in heaven.
In Yeshua's name. Partake.
Glory. Let me tell you what the Lord was showing me through David's prayer. That's a long prayer, but that's okay.
Let me do it.
Psalm 119 was a prayer. Go ahead, Dave.
Father, we lift up to you your blood.
Father, we lift up to you your blood.
And as we partake of your blood and drink of your blood. We have eternal life in us. And we receive that eternal life. Let this blood come in. And cleanse and heal and redeem the generation behind.
And redeem the generation behind.
generations and behind.
And let all wrongs be set right.
And
let all wrongs be set right.
Let all thievery be caught and arrested and restored to the way that it was called to be.
And let all
thievery
be restored to
the way it should be.
The way it was supposed to be.
In Yeshua's name.
In
Yeshua's name.
Yeshua's name.
And as we partake of this, your blood today.
And as we
partake of this,
your blood today.
Let it go in and free up that which is held back.
And then
let it go again and free up that which is held back.
In prosperity.
Prosperity.
And wealth.
And wealth.
And prosperity and wealth.
And material things.
Material things.
Monies, favors.
Witty ideas, inventions, songs,
music, films,
everything.
Everything that pertains to everyone who is here tonight in what their individual callings are.
Individual callings are.
In Yeshua's name.
In Yeshua's name.
Partake.
Okay. Yes. Well, yes, Lord.
And we now thank you, Father, for allowing us to come to the throne room of your grace and to receive grace and to receive and the release and the dealings with poverty, the mindset of poverty, everything regarding the past from Adam to here. And that, Father, we thank you that it's finally been cleansed out of this group of people.
Yes, that's a glory one
and,
right there.
And it's been released to go in and prosper and to walk as a manifestation of this new man in the earth. In Yeshua's name, amen.
Amen.
I started saying a minute ago, as David was praying, I saw like light opening up over each and every one of you. And if you look at the scriptures, Jacob's ladder was a perfect example. The angels ascended and descended. So they went up to heaven and back. They were already here. We just did not recognize them because they were in a realm that we did not see, a dimension we did not see. And his eyes were opened. And I saw great light like angels going up from each one of you into the heavenly realms. It was a burst of light, like searchlights been turned on and just shot up into the heavens. And there was a great release over the earth. Now, those that are on this call, there were 24, and we've lost some people for different reasons. The Lord was saying to me, this is the beginning. This is a month to remember that which I've done and what I'm doing. You're going to see a new thing. There's going to things spring up now like you've not seen it before. It's Isaiah 43:19. He says, "I'm all the setbacks, all the problems, all the discouragement, all the battles, they're going to be starting to be released from you because this, you're going to have to learn to receive." That's a problem to some people. Learn to receive God's greater unveiling of his plans and his breakthrough and that which he wants to give you. And don't let discouragement come back in. When discouragement starts to come upon you, rebuke it in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. It's like in dealing with men or women with lust. For years I've said lust would come on. I said, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. I've been delivered of that. Do the same thing with discouragement. Every one of us faces discouragement and setbacks and problems. The enemy's not going to just throw down his cloak and run for cover right away. You're going to have to stand up. If he sees that you're weak and are not willing to stand in that which has been prayed tonight, he's going to try to come back with greater attacks on you. You're going to have to stand and say, oh, no, I was delivered from that. That was laid upon the cross. The generations in my bloodline have been set free, and I'm going forward because I have a reward, an inheritance that has been saved up since the beginning, that has been kept from my lineage, and now is being released. This September is going to be a greater open door than has been in the history of mankind. And even though the United States is in a great spiritual battle, this next year is a time of war, next several years. at the same time understand that we are victorious. Shake off the disappointment. Shake off that which the enemy has tried to do and make it an appointment under the kingdom. Instead of a disappointment, make it an appointment. Make it a time where you go before the Lord and just worship him, that you just literally climb to the Father's lap. And that comes from a word that was given this past week. Literally, we're supposed to climb into our Father's arm, into our lap, because we have been reconciled. As I said earlier, this is a ministry of reconciliation. You're in the ministry of reconciliation. The door to the kingdom is open. The king is in the field. He's saying, come unto me. And he has opened up, through a prophetic word and prayer this night, a roadway that is going to shine bright in the darkness. There's going to be great reward. There's going to be people in your family that are going to come to you, and they're going to say they've experienced something they've never experienced before. They've found that through your prayers or through a revelation knowledge that you've become a refuge of the Lord in them. And they'll recognize your prayers. They'll recognize that which you've been saying to them, which has never been recognized before. And God is saying, come and see. Come and receive what I'm doing. Come and let that faith that has been spoken tonight of abundance be found in you, that it'll build up, and faith upon faith, and the supernatural will be yours. And greater works you're going to do, greater callings you're going to do. So don't let grumbling, don't let those words that I talked about, the laws of abasement, come upon you again. Don't let that come into your life. Let the law of multiplication come back upon your life. The law of blessing, the law of covenant come back into your life. Stop being afraid of the enemy. The enemy only weapon is fear. And through that he manipulates and he brings about death and destruction. You're going to have to rise above all that's going on. And there's going to be challenges in this earth like we've never seen before on this land. The Lord is redeeming the land. The prayers of those that stayed, there's 18 of us that stayed through the whole thing. That prayer is going to bring about a peace that surpasses understanding. It's going to bring about a new energy. It's going to bring about a new place in the Lord that's going to surpass all understanding. It'll guard your hearts. And he says, guard your heart and your mind in Christ, that you may know the hope of your calling, that you may walk out the lineage promise that was in your bloodline that was stolen, that God would restore. Now, some of you say, well, I'll never be restored to that certain place or that certain thing. Think about this. God has got a greater place. God has got a greater calling. God has got a greater work. And that work is a work of reconciliation. It's in the ministry field. Every day you're in ministry. I don't care what you do. Doesn't make any difference. You're in ministry. You can live it without saying a word. You can preach it. You can teach it. Walk it out. That people can see the light, and they'll want to come to that light for the glory of the Lord. David, I thank you very much.
No, you're welcome. Hey, could I actually ask you all something here, if you could do me a favor?
Yes.
I'm just going to give my email out to you all, and I'd just love to hear about what takes place after today. Just a testimony or whatever. It would be a cool thing to have, just to get to hear what God did and manifested. So it's DA_Pembleton. That's PEMBLETON @yahoo.com. That's DA_PEMBLETON @yahoo.com.
Thank you, David.
It would be nice to hear what has happened and the result.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Last year, Robert Zuloaga gave me a book, Abiding in Christ, by Andrew Murray. And it talks about he is your sanctification. of him, God, you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. It's out of 1 Corinthians 1:30. That he has established us in himself and anointed us to receive the fullness of him who abides in us, and if we abide in him, and he has taught us, if we're willing to abide in him, he teaches us the fullness of things to come. That of 1 John. So I want to encourage every one of you. It's been a good night. It's that's a strong prayer, as strong as I've heard. I believe David was led of the Lord, and he saw it, and I saw it, that which God is doing. And so to each and every one of you, press in, press on, press up. Let the glory of God rest upon you, and let the portals of heaven open over you, that you may find peace and joy and the prosperity of the Lord. And it's going to come in many ways. Be willing to give unto the Lord a new song. Give unto him your praise, your worship, your thanksgiving. Let the fullness of him abide in you on earth as it is in heaven. And let people see that light. And I thank you so much for that. I'm not going to call on anybody tonight. I'm looking forward to some blessings next week. But we're going to start praying in similar manner to deal with issues and things. Now, the curses have been broken. God's promised them. Now, how we're going to start walking it out that no new curses would come is the key. That we don't create any. So be quick to repent, be quick to forgive, and press in. And in that, we're going to close. I've got a prayer that I'm going to just lift up. Father, you have given us a rebirth again tonight in your spirit. For the generations, the sin has been remitted in the generations of our families, all the way back to the beginning, through our bloodlines, through the DNA, and that we will accomplish the purposes under heaven that you have on earth for us to accomplish. Lord, may they be many and great. May our spirit be awakened, that we be a light in the darkness, and that we shake off the slumber of the church. We shake off the sin of the nation. Lord, there's great concern that the enemy's entered in, and we know he has. The borders, the guard has been let down because of those that are in charge have decided to let down the borders and dismiss those who would bring protection. But God, but you, Lord God, I don't condemn them. I don't condemn anyone. Lord, I say, but God, you will defeat our enemies because of the spirit that reigneth in us. Lord, we know there's many things to come, but we also know that you've given us a pathway to victory. Lord, let the past pain be nothing compared to the future victory that we see. Lord, you said in Luke 21, stand firm and we will win life. So, Lord, we choose to stand firm, for you're our good shepherd and you lay down your life for us. Lord, that we may press into you and receive all that you have. And you said, come and see the newfound abundance that I have for you. Stop worrying. Don't be afraid. Come, all you on earth, come unto me. Let me shine my peace through you and awaken those who slumber. Awaken them out of the darkness. Walk with me and in me. And you shall become lights of the world, rivers of living water with victory and hope. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for this word in Yeshua's name. I say amen and amen. Let everyone's light, let the portals over them be opened up that they could see and hear and understand and receive and glean, Lord God, no longer glean but reap. Not from the corners of the field, but from the fullness of the field, that which was spoken.
Amen.
For your
Amen.
Glory in Jesus' name. Thank you all for being here. There's a lot to ponder and chew upon, meditate upon tonight. Blessings to each and every one of you. I believe that we have opened the kingdom. We've opened the doorway. And as we go in and go into this time of tabernacles, the time of God dwelling with man, God tabernacling with man, the King in the field, that we have an opportunity to be light, hope, healing, and deliverance to all around us. May that blessing be upon you. May you be the light in the darkness, the hope to the hopeless, the healing to the sick, and the blessing to those that need a blessing. In Jesus' name, with that I say good night.
Amen. Amen.
Wait, can I have you call me, please?
Yes, I will.